Welcome back, everybody, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We're rocking out here with Topher Field for 2 hours today. And we were just commenting over the break about I just love having Topher on, man. We just sit back and have a few laughs, you know. Good fun. Can
I say, before we go any further, that's the kind of music that would get me thrown in jail over here. Now, that may sound a little bit strange, so let me explain. That's the kind of music that I would play through my headphones while I'm riding my motorbike. And I would get so amped up listening to that kind of music that I would do things on the motorbike that would get me thrown in jail. I'm going to have to get the name of that band off you and see if I can track down their stuff.
Oh, that's Muse. That's a song called Knights of Sidonia.
I know Muse. I hadn't come across that particular song. Weird.
Well, when I first saw the music video for this, it's so ridiculously awesome. Like, it's the most awesome music video you could ever conceive of in your life. You know, like, I mean, look, let me just put it like this. Cowboys with laser guns.
We're not talking cowboys and aliens style here, are we? I mean, because let's be honest, that wasn't a great movie.
No, we ain't talking cowboys and aliens. It was just cowboys with laser guns. It was way better.
Well, look, I'll give that a chance. I'll give that a go. It sounds a little bit interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I was just pulling up a search term for knights, and the second term that comes up is Knights of Sidonia by Muse here. So here you go. Here's the link, so you can probably watch that at your leisure. Right. The census. I am really concerned about this in New Zealand here because the Libertarian Party allegedly, and I should get one of them on the show. I don't know. You know what the really annoying thing is about libertarians? Because they don't give out any information. You can't freaking find one when you need one. They're calling to boycott the census and what have you. And I'm just thinking, man, the libertarian coffers in this country are probably broke enough as it is, and they're going to be busy paying all these fines and everything too.
You know what's interesting? Did I tell you last time I came on that that I refused to vote at one of our elections one time? I tell you about what happened there? No, well, over in Australia, we have mandatory voting. It's supposed to be one of the cornerstones of our particular version of democracy. And so whether or not you want to, you have to get out and have your name ticked off the rolls. Otherwise, they fine you. So we had a local by-election here, and I had a look at all my different options. I read through the pamphlet and saw who was on offer. And I kind of went through and went, communist, statist, socialist, communist, statist. I went through the whole list and just saw nothing but people I didn't want to vote for. So I thought, well, my understanding of my constitutional rights are that I have the right, in the explicit language of the Constitution, to vote as I see fit. Now, voting as I see fit must include not voting for someone I don't want to vote for. Now, another thing you need to know about the system over here is that, unlike the American system, we don't have the ability to write in a name. We can't write in the person we want to vote for. We must choose from one of the options that are put in front of us. So we have to vote, and we have to choose from one of the people that are on the ticket. And I looked at all those people and said, well, in good conscience, I can't vote for any of them. So I didn't show up. I didn't vote. And I got a letter in the mail a little while later saying that I owed the local council $55 for failing to vote in their little by-election. So I wrote them a very polite letter, quoted from the Constitution, my right to vote as I see fit, used a high court precedent that protects citizens from being required to engage in a farce, because their response would have been, oh, but you should have shown up, had your name crossed off the list, and then just voted informal, or, you know, crossed them all out or something, done a protest vote of some sort, but you should have shown up. And that, of course, would be the definition of a farce. The definition of a farce is to participate in the form of something without actually having any influence on the reality of it. And so that would be a farce, to require me to show up and pretend to vote without having any impact on the actual vote itself. So I sent them off this letter and kind of I laid out my case that I could vote as I saw fit, and that must include withholding my vote, and that they couldn't require me to show up and not vote, which is what they would have come back with. Never heard from them again. They must have just read the letter and gone, yeah, too hard. Can't be bothered. Don't want to have to argue with this particular guy. So I don't know if something like that, you could perhaps claim privacy, or whether there's anything in your constitution or in legal precedent that would allow you not to have to disclose information. I know,
that's
for example,
the difficulty because that's not my area. I don't do research. I just kind of interview researchers and stuff like that. I mean, if there's anybody listening to this particular broadcast who knows of some particular part of the statutes or anything, because you know what it's like reading legal documents and statutes and things like that, Topher. It's just exactly. waffle and crap.
Yeah,
Jesus creepers. Learn how to speak freaking English.
Well, I do know that you have, because you're a part of the Commonwealth and your legal system has come out of English common law, you have the right to not disclose information that will expose you to a forfeiture, to a fine, to a penalty, to criminal charges. It's in a way, it's similar to pleading the Fifth in the US Bill of Rights. Obviously, the legal side of it is different, but the principle is similar, where you can't be required to divulge information that could expose you to a penalty. Now, of course, you're the only one who's really in a position to judge what information might or might not expose you to a penalty. So you might be able to argue that you're not filling out the census on the basis that the information that you provide therein may be used to charge you money, to assess your taxes, to decide various things like that.
Ironically, if I don't fill out the census, I do get a penalty imposed on me.
They've screwed you five ways to Sunday, hey? They've got you no matter what you do.
See, that's what these scumbags do, man. Yeah, I mean, no wonder people get angry. No wonder people, you know, just think, you know, if only I had an AK-47 and a rooftop.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't say that I've ever thought that, but I know that some people do. But look, here's the thing. At some point, if we don't say enough and start to push back, and when I say push back, I mean at least in the first instance, push back in legal and political terms. I'm a great fan of the fact that Western democratic systems have relatively very little violence involved in their political systems, and frankly, I would like to keep it that way. So I don't want to see people resorting to violent means or intimidation or threats or any of that sort of stuff. So at least in the first instance, we need to actually organize ourselves and push back in a political and in a legal way. Because if we don't push back, this isn't going to stop. One of the things that really drives me, there is no bureaucrat on the planet who will ever look at the range of laws that have been written and the regulations that they've got and say, you know what, I think that's enough. I think we've written enough regulations for one lifetime. I don't think we need to write any more. That is never going to happen. In their world and in their life, more regulations are always the answer. So if we're unhappy with the amount of regulations we've already got, we're the ones who are going to have to put a stop to it. Because the bureaucrats and the politicians who are writing these regulations and creating these departments, they are never going to stop themselves. We're the ones who have to find a way, preferably non-violent, and I really stress that. It breaks my heart when I see people who waste their own life and throw away the lives of other people in some kind of a futile, you know, bit of stupidity. But we need to organize and we need to find ways of resistance. And there's a number of ways that can be done. I mean, we've got a group here in Australia called the Australian Taxpayers Alliance, who are organizing, and the more support they get, the more influence they'll start to get. And they're representing taxpayers on taxpayer-related issues. And they hold a relatively speaking, they hold a fairly libertarian worldview and a fairly libertarian view of what governments should and should not do. Now, every Australian who is frustrated by what governments are doing over here should be on their mailing list at a minimum, if not donating to them. Support these guys, because these are the kinds of organizations that can actually provide us with a platform for non-violent resistance, for a non-violent pushback of some sort. You know, there are a lot of different organizations that can be joined. There are a lot of things that can be done, even at an individual level. Educating yourself on how you can refuse to pay fines. I refused to pay a fine for not voting. Now, that's something that I learned because I have, over a period of years, have spent time reading the Constitution, reading people's analysis of the Constitution, reading the testimonies of people who have, in their own ways, done their own little pushback, who you know, talk on radio or get online and so forth. And this is an individual responsibility. One of the comments you made earlier, which I think is very true and very funny, libertarians are often quite hard to track down because they don't tend to be putting their information all over the place. And one of the things that always amuses me is when someone comes along and says, oh, you know, I'm a real libertarian, I believe in individualism, blah, 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 blah. You know what? You, talking to me, should get into politics. You should start you should lead this organization, or you should do whatever. I'm like, if you're a real libertarian, wouldn't you be looking for what you can do? rather than trying to tell me that I should start some organization that you can join? Isn't that the very antithesis of the libertarian sort of mentality? So I really encourage people, you know, find a way that you can do something. Find a way that you can actually push back in some nonviolent way without feeling the need to be led by someone else. Because if each of us organizes our own little thing, we're going to be unstoppable.
Yeah, and there was just something that you just reminded me of now is, what was it? Oh, yeah. If you're having a look at who to vote for and you don't see anybody you vote, then you just wish, you know, I wish I was in the race. That way I could at least vote for myself because I know I'm not going to screw me over.
Yeah. Very, very true. I have run in one state and one federal election a number of years ago for a very, very minor party that had absolutely no chance of actually winning a seat. I was basically helping to fill the ballot and knew that I wasn't going to be elected. And that experience has really that was actually one of the things that turned me from being what would probably be termed a conservative and began the real rapid transfer for me into libertarianism. When I got a bit of a closer look at all of the other candidates, and I got a bit of a closer look at what was expected and required of me, even within this fairly conservative minor party, what their attitudes towards government were, and I began to realize, you know what, getting the right people in government is not the answer. It's getting government out of our lives that's the answer. It actually shouldn't really matter all that much who's in government, because their hands should be so strictly hogtied, and they should be so limited in what they can do, and they should be so actively resisted by the population anytime they try and step outside of their boundaries, that it really shouldn't matter. They shouldn't be able to screw us over. It's our own apathy that's the reason we get screwed over. It's the fact that we aren't individually and as, you know, in small groups and so forth, standing up and going, no, we're drawing a line here, you can't go any further. It's actually, we're actually the ones to blame.
See, and this is why I think if we actually did want to be elected, we should run for the apathy party. We'd win by a landslide.
A mate of mine actually started a Facebook group called the Apathy Party, and I could barely muster up the energy to join. So it was one of those interesting parties where if someone actually has the energy to go and sign on, then they don't really belong in the Apathy Party. It's all the people who don't sign up that obviously belong.
Maybe they should belong to the Irony Party.
Apathy and irony. Let's roll them into one.
Yeah. Like we'll form a coalition.
Yeah. Yes. The new coalition of apathy and irony parties, and as the irony party that allows you to join the apathy party because that's ironic.
Yeah, exactly. Like you have to join both parties because in order to join the apathy party, it has to be ironic. Okay. I get the dynamic.
Moving on.
Yes.
How do we get ourselves into these corners? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. I was thinking about, I was explaining yesterday my theory of fractal scumbaggery. Have you heard of the fractal universe theory?
I didn't know the fractal universe theory. I have no idea how it relates to scumbaggery, but I'm interested.
Well, fractal universe, obviously, you know, you look into one part of the universe and it starts to replicate and look exactly the same as other parts of the universe. You look into those, so on and so forth. Fractal scumbaggery is when you look into one instance of scumbaggery and you start to see that there's other instances of scumbaggery, and you look into those other instances and there's even more scumbaggery. Infinite scumbaggery up and down.
You know, the reason why I'm laughing is because that is exactly what I observed and what I came across when I started looking into the water crisis here in Australia. I think I mentioned that to you last time we talked. That's what first got me started, was the water crisis over here. And we had a very severe drought and the government was severely restricting water usage and so forth. And I began to get frustrated. I felt that they weren't doing what they should have been doing. And that was what began. That was the very first thing that got me off my lazy, apathetic backside and got me to start looking into government and looking into what they were doing. And so I began looking into – they were building a desalination plant at a cost of billions of dollars because they said that the rain wasn't going to fall anymore because we had global warming, and our now climate commissioner, Tim Flannery, told us that the dams were never going to fill again. So I began looking into that and began to discover that there were all sorts of alternatives, other things that we could have done that would have provided more water for less money. And then, people began to call me up after I released that video and tell me about other aspects of the water issue and blah, blah, blah. And like you say, I began to see scumbaggery within scumbaggery. Well, I released three different videos, and then eventually I had to release a fourth, which I called Liars, Damn Liars, and Politicians. And that was basically about the scumbaggery because over the course of making the three previous videos, one about the desalination plant, one about a ridiculous pipeline that should never have been built, and a third one about a very brilliant pipeline that should be built but, of course, isn't being built, by the time I'd researched those three different aspects of the water issue, I had such a backlog of scumbaggery that needed to be revealed, that needed to be put in people's faces. Now, here's a funny story, and this is an interesting little story that I think illustrates the power of the individual. I released that video a couple of months before the state election down here. And, I released that video a couple of months before the state election down here. Now, at the time we had a Labor government in power, which in this country is actually our more liberal brand of government. It's the ones who are more pro-union and pro-big government and pro-welfare programs. And we... I released that video protesting and revealing some of the lies and deception of that government. And I probably better finish the story after the ad break.
If we can remember it. We'll be right back.
I'll do my best.
We'll be right back. Topher Field from Australia, ladies and gentlemen. You can also catch his show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Back in a minute.